Alphabet shutting down Google Plus after a bug in the system left user data exposed for 2 years. Google announced in a blog post Monday that data from up to 500,000 users was left vulnerable between 2015 and March of this year. The company said it patched the leak back in March and found no evidence of misused data. The affected data was limited to optional Google Plus profile fields, including name, email address, occupation, gender, and age.
Nikki Haley, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, resigned on Tuesday. President Trump accepting her resignation at the White House. Haley, a former governor of South Carolina, had been both a trusted advisor and sometimes a critic of Trump. The resignation taking many by surprise. Her departure leaves the Trump administration with one less moderate Republican on the president's foreign policy team.
Microsoft's pouring money into one of Southeast Asia's hottest startups, ride-sharing company Grab. Earlier this year, Uber packed its bags and sold its local business to Grab because it wanted to stop burning money trying to keep up. Now Grab plans to partner with Microsoft on technology, everything from big data to AI.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's the 10th of October, 5:10 in the morning. Thanks for being here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. We've put together a really good broadcast for you today. It is Fire Prevention Week, and we're going to be talking a little bit about fire prevention, not only at home, but in your workplace as well. That'll be our first guest this morning. Mark Nielsen will be here from KVCL Safety. A little bit later in the program, you probably go to one a lot, maybe even every day or a couple times a day, a convenience store. All of the convenience store owners in the country are having their annual conference in Las Vegas. And they're working on the next big thing for convenience store. A lot of us go to these stores, and some people go to convenience stores more than they do a regular grocery store. So it is an important business, and we'll be talking with one of the experts on this from the National Association of Convenience Stores coming up at about 5:40 this morning. So stay tuned for that. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Looks like we could have another weak opening on Wall Street later this morning. Futures are pointing toward opening losses, with Dow futures down about 30 points. NASDAQ futures are off about 0.25% this morning. S&P futures are down about a fraction. Around the rest of the world, markets are generally mixed in Asia, with the Nikkei ending the day up just a fraction, the Hang Seng up just a fraction, the Shanghai up just a fraction as well. And in Europe, markets there generally in the red this morning, with London, Germany, and France all off this morning. London off by about 0.25%. Germany and France off more than 0.5%. Oil is trading at $74.99 a barrel. A couple of stories before we begin this morning. Sears Holdings, once the largest retailer in the U.S., is reportedly readying a bankruptcy filing that could come as soon as this week, according to the Wall Street Journal. The Journal is reporting that the company has hired an advisory team who will likely help with the bankruptcy proceedings. The company M3 Partners has been working with Sears for more than 2 years now, according to the report. The source says that Sears has also enlisted an array of advisors over the past few years to grapple with its debt load. The news comes as the embattled retailer faces a $134 million debt payment, which is due on October 15th, which the company has warned it may not be able to meet. The numbers this morning for Sears, startling numbers, not surprising, though, given what's happening in the pre-market. Sears shares are down nearly 20% at 59 cents now a share. At SHLD is the ticker symbol for Sears Holdings. We'll continue to watch that story as we move through the morning. The Trump administration is moving to allow year-round sales of gasoline with higher blends of ethanol. That's a boon for Iowa and Illinois farm states that have pushed for greater sales of corn-based fuel. The president made the announcement yesterday in Iowa, said he's lifting a federal ban on summer sales of high ethanol blends. The long-expected announcement is something of a reward, especially to Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, who is Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman, led the contentious fight to confirm Brett Kavanaugh to the U.S. Supreme Court. This is Fire Prevention Week all across the country, especially here in Illinois and Chicago. Lots to talk about in terms of fire prevention, not only at home, but in the workplace. And we wanted to bring in Mark Nielsen, who's Director of Safety at KVCL Safety. That's an emergency planning and preparation resource. Mark, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Hello, Steve. Good morning.
I was in a recent seminar with you. You were here kind of training, I believe, our staff for fire prevention and all kinds of other problems. And I just want to say thank you for that. It was very enlightening.
Oh, thank you. We did three sessions at your facility, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
I was surprised to see some statistics from the National Fire Prevention Association that says if a fire is reported in somebody's home these days, you're more likely to die because of that. Why is that? It seems to me that after all of these years, we'd be getting better at this. Why is that so significant?
Well, we are getting better. And one of the things, when I first came on the job, we didn't have smoke detectors. Smoke detectors were non-existent. When smoke detectors became a part of our lives, we went from literally, when I came on the job, we had fire deaths in Chicago that were in triple digits. And we're in double digits pretty consistently now because of smoke detectors and cell phone use, both. That statement made by NFPA in reference to dying in a home as opposed to in a high-rise, I think is what that reference was about. So you are more likely to die in a home fire than in a high-rise fire.
Yeah,
and I know we talked about high-rise safety.
Yeah, and I'm going to get into that. We want to first tell everybody, I should have done this at the beginning, you're a veteran Chicago firefighter. You were with the Chicago Fire Department for, almost 30 years or more, right?
Almost 38 years.
38.
Yes, yeah, just short of 38, correct.
And some of the stuff you went through with us about fire safety, just how safe buildings are these days. So if you're at work in one of these high-rise, you're in a pretty safe situation, aren't you?
Well, high-rise buildings are by design concrete and steel, which are obviously non-combustible materials. The communication system that's in the building is a very good piece of equipment that will make you safe, as well as automatic sprinklers, which are common and mandated in commercial high-rise buildings, as well as standpipe systems. Smoke heat detectors, HVAC controls, which means that building engineers can control the flow of air to prevent fire spread. So there's a lot of built-in systems in a high-rise building that can make you safe.
You mentioned sprinklers, and that seems to be one of the magic keys here. We've heard a lot about sprinklers lately. There was a big fire out on Prospect Heights, a big apartment building out there that burned and apparently didn't have sprinklers. That seems to be the key here to making, at least one of the big keys. Why do we not see more residential buildings have those sprinkler systems?
Well, obviously there's a cost involved with the installation of sprinkler systems, so there's always been a fight about cost. People will always say, well, you can't put a price on life, but that is the issue. The cost, if it were free, everyone would have it, I guarantee you. It is mandated, like I said, in commercial high-rise buildings, and there's a good significant amount of residential high-rise buildings that are sprinkled. Any new residential high-rise building must be sprinkled by code, by ordinance. And there are single-family homes. There's areas around the city that have mandated sprinkler systems for new construction, but we don't have it in Chicago yet for just a single-family home.
We're on with Mark Nielsen this morning. He's the Director of Safety at KVCL, Emergency Planning and Preparation Resource, a former Chicago firefighter as well. Mark, we were talking earlier about high-rise buildings and the workplace. What's the biggest mistake people make when there's an emergency situation, like a fire in their building?
People often want to automatically evacuate, and what we advise is if we could just say one thing to the folks out there in regard to high-rise fire safety in a commercial setting, the most important thing to do is to listen. Listen to that amplifier. Listen to the message that's being conveyed and act accordingly. We don't want people to automatically evacuate unless their work area or floor is on fire. That's the only time. But the majority of floors that are not involved, intimately involved in the fire, we're going to ask people to remain right where they're at in the majority of fires.
And that's because, I think a lot of people in Chicago remember the Cook County building fire where that tragedy. Is that because there could be fire below or above and you firefighters will be putting that out?
Exactly. That's one of the reasons. Another reason is that one of the stairwells, assuming that there's two, there's sometimes as many as four, one of the stairwells will be used by the fire department as what we call a fire attack stairwell. And it's a stairwell that will be untenable, and it will be full of smoke, and we can't ask people to go into that stairwell. So we don't want people to go into that stairwell. So it's important that you listen to that message as to where we want you to move, if we want you to move. Again, the two times that you move, one, if you're in harm's way, we don't want you to wait for a message. If you're in harm's way, move. Otherwise, when you're directed. So listen to that message. Listening to the message is very important.
I was surprised, when you were here talking to us here at WGN, you talked about how most people don't know the stairwell systems in their buildings.
Kind of a pet peeve of mine, being a firefighter for 37 years. You see people that go into a high-rise setting, whether it's their apartment or their workplace, and they know one way in and out of that building, and it's usually the elevator. They're not familiar with other means of egress, and it's very important that they do get familiar with these other stairwells.
I know we've been talking about the workplace, but the drill that we do, and I guess a lot of the buildings, probably all the buildings, do these drills regularly. How important is that not only for the workplace but at home to have a plan and drill on it?
Well, in the workplace or at home, it develops muscle memory is what it does. A lot of times our brains don't function well in an emergency situation, and we want to have been in this situation before, and the one way to experience that is by drilling. At home, we've always advocated what we call EDITH, which is an acronym that stands for Exit Drills in the Home. Very good thing to do. Just a single family home, for instance, you might have a family of five, just practice exiting from the building, even blindfolded is a great thing to do, utilizing both exits, and then having a common meeting place outside the home, whether it's a neighbor's house or a tree in front of the house, wherever that is, having where we can make sure everyone is accounted for.
What would you say would be the biggest, aside from the smoke detector in your home, the biggest piece of fire safety equipment to have? Would it be a ladder? Would it be a smoke fire extinguisher? All of the above?
Well, I'm going to tell you, smoke detectors by far are the piece of equipment. Fire extinguishers are great to have. We always tell people, exit the building. That's the important thing. And we tell people when we do fire safety training that extinguisher use is really an option if you feel comfortable with it, if you've been properly trained. The most important thing with deciding to use a fire extinguisher is making sure that you're between the exit and the fire before you initiate that attack. Ladders are good if you live on upper floors, obviously, and not exceeding two floors. Chain ladders are a good thing to have, but by far a smoke detector is the best piece of safety equipment and the thing that's really made a difference in my career and that I've seen over the years where there's been a reduction in fire deaths.
I think we're all lucky to live in Chicago, and you might be able to speak to this about, this is Fire Prevention Week, the Great Chicago Fire. This city's really been a leader in fire prevention and the fire service, hasn't it?
I might be a little biased in that area, but the Chicago Fire Department is the best fire department in the world. And it's really about the men and women that serve this department and their commitment and dedication to doing a great job. And one of the biggest challenges as a chief officer is really pulling the reins back on these individuals and keeping them out of areas that they don't belong in. But they want to get into the fire, and they want to do their job, and they want to save lives and do a great job. And like I say, that's a big challenge for us, is to look over their safety and kind of hold back on the reins sometimes.
Well, our hat tip to all of the Chicago firefighters, and to you as well, for keeping us safe. Mark Nielsen, we appreciate you getting up and being with us this morning.
Thank you, Steve.
Mark Nielsen, the Director of Safety at KVCL Safety. You can find them online. They're a division of AK Preparedness, and you can find their website at akpreparedness.com. Again, Fire Prevention Week, the theme this year, look, listen, learn. Be aware, a fire can happen anywhere, according to the National Fire Prevention Association. Look for places a fire can start. Listen for the sound of the smoke alarm. Learn two ways out of each room.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Thanks for being here with us on our Wednesday edition of The Opening Bell. The National Association of Convenience Stores is holding its annual expo in Las Vegas this week, debuting thousands of new products ready to hit the store shelves across the country, but also new services as well. Joining us this morning from Las Vegas is Jeff Leonard. He's the VP of Strategic Industry Initiatives at the National Association of Convenience Stores, NACS. Jeff, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Thanks for having me.
The National Association of Convenience Stores is underway, this show out in Las Vegas. Jeff, tell us what you guys are talking about out there. What's the focus?
Well, the fancy terms that I think everybody's talking about is frictionless payments, disruption. But, you know, early in the morning, people's eyes glaze over. Let's just talk about what that means. Speed of service. And when you look at all the retail out there, there's two things going on. Convenience is really about the internet, and anybody who's competing against the internet is terrified of that. But the opportunity is really around the shopping experience and in brick and mortar. And that's where you're going to see malls succeed. That's where you're going to see restaurants succeed. That's where you're going to see convenience stores succeed. So a lot of focus on how do you have a better shopping experience, because in most cases, you're not going to be faster than the internet in terms of delivery. Maybe exception being small format stores like convenience stores. You're thirsty. You get it now. You don't want to even wait a half hour. So some opportunity, but it's all about time.
Yeah, and I saw one of the displays that I saw online from your show is that it's sort of like while you're getting your gas out front, you can use a mobile app to find the snacks that you want and pay for them all at once when you go in, so you don't even have to wait in line. Is that the kind of convenience that we're talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about that. Now, the challenge with that, and that they've tried experiments with that, with paying at the pump with cash, it has to be weatherproof, because the one time it doesn't work, somebody's going to start kicking the dispenser, and we've all been there. So looking at various things, how do you order something? How do you get things delivered? There's been a couple presentations on fuel delivery and things like that, where you don't have to necessarily go to the gas station every time the gas station comes to you. You don't necessarily have to go to the grocery store. The grocery store comes to you. So how do you look at a different model where if, you know, there's just not enough time in your day or at that immediate time, something comes to you and it's that much more convenient?
Convenience stores have a kind of a cool model because they're really out of everything that we do, I think, in our daily lives. We're talking about generally a 24/7 operation that people want to get in, as you mentioned, get in and get out of. How does that change the way they do business, being open 24/7 as they are?
Well, the 24/7 is increasingly important as people do shift work. When you have 17% of the U.S. population is doing some sort of second or third shift work. So when nurses get off at 2 in the morning from their shifts, Where do they go to get food? Where do they go to get something? So we're seeing more fresh food in stores, because if it's just, you know, they're good products, but gummy worms isn't going to cut it as dinner at 2 a.m. So looking at more of those salads that are in the fresh cases and things like that. And people are just working around the clock. Even if you're talking about kids coming back on spring break or long weekend, you want to have them get a place where they can get gas, use a bathroom, and by the way, one of those bathrooms where the key isn't attached to a hubcap, like a nice bathroom, and get a good sandwich and get on your way.
I guess some of that is called grab and go, right? That's the kind of idea that convenience stores live by.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of those things, those grab and go coolers, that fresh case in the front of the store, we're really seeing some pretty strong sales out of that. And that's that. Usually it's an oval thing in the front of the store, has yogurt, string cheese, sandwiches, water, because it's that much more convenient. And we've done enough of these studies where opening a door is inconvenient. Not having a door on an open air cooler is more convenient, and you see sales grow.
Let's talk a little bit about healthy options here, because I know that's taking a lot of attention out there. People want to eat healthy. They also want their snacks to be healthy, don't they?
Yeah, and it's all about choices. There are sometimes, and you remember that old commercial, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. So the key is when you offer healthy options, you want to first off tell people you have these healthy options. You don't want to necessarily set them up in a section where it just says healthy options, because that's only going to appeal to people who always want those options. So the way you want to set up the store is you want to have the healthy options mixed in with salty snacks. You want to have them mixed in with sweet snacks, because usually when most people are driving around and they say, I want something, they're saying, I want something sweet, I want something salty. Very rarely does somebody say, I want something healthy, or I want something full of calories, fat, something like that. It's a flavor profile. So the key is to mix things in with the existing items, because people shop based on taste, not necessarily all the time based on a specific profile of what the item contains.
Jeff, who are the players in this space? I know here in the Chicago area, we have a lot of 7-Eleven stores, but who are the players nationally, and what kind of share do they have each?
Well, nationally, 7-Eleven is the largest, and the other one is Circle K, which is owned by Alimentation Couche-Tard, which is a Canadian company, and that means night owl. So anybody that wants to learn French this morning. But really, it's about regional stores, and most of the 63% of convenience stores are one-store operators. It tends to be a regional operation, because you generally don't want to outstrip your distribution, and you have limited marketing dollars compared to larger boxes. But what we're really seeing is convenience stores are more thought of as the cool kids now, whereas for years it was the mini mart and all the derisive comments related to that. Amazon wants to open 3,000 convenience stores in the next 3 years. Walmart wants to open convenience stores. Home Depot, about 10 years ago, started opening convenience stores. Didn't get as far as they wanted, but small format where people are moving. And I think with Amazon, I think what they're looking at is mixed use kind of stores where they're within apartment complexes. We're going to increasingly see that, because even a mile out of somebody's way is inconvenient. So where do you get these small format stores where people are, or where people want to be?
I know that in addition to showcasing a lot of different ideas, there are some serious discussions going on as well about policy. I was unaware of the important role that your members have played in the discussion about the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, as everybody knows it, and some changes that were in store for this year that sort of got rolled back a little.
Well, convenience stores are about 50% of the outlets outlets that accept SNAP. Now, they're only about 5% of redemption, but when you look at corner stores, convenience stores, we're not the place. You're not going to come in with a shopping cart and you're going to fill it up and you're going to say, I'm good for the month. But where these stores fit in is when let's just say that the person that, if you're in an area where there's only one car, can that person at night come back with a milk, come back with a bread, come back with some of those other staple items? And that can go on SNAP, whereas it might not if these stores aren't part of the program. And the way that the depth of stock was constructed is things like it had to be different species. So you had to have different species of animal to qualify for meat. So bacon and ham, same species, that's only one in terms of depth of stock. So then you're starting to look at duck and other things like that. And as far as I know, duck sales are pretty small in convenience stores. What we just want to do is we want to be there for when people just want to get those fill-in items. We are not going to replace the grocery shop. And one other thing, and we always see waivers with SNAP when you can't buy hot food with SNAP. But you'll see in Florida, Alabama, they'll release those waivers this week as you have millions of people evacuating. They're going to shelters. They can't possibly cook. So you will see some SNAP waivers where people can use SNAP benefits for hot food and things like that because they need food.
Jeff, any other takeaways from the meeting this year and what we should be looking for as consumers?
It's not just time where you're located. It's not just time on how you get food or drinks or whatever to somebody. We're also seeing a lot in terms of mashups of products. We've all seen the protein bars. We've seen protein drinks. Now we're seeing things like protein cakes, protein potato chips, caffeinated water, all kinds of combinations, because why have a coffee and water? Why not just have them both in one drink? And so a lot of these mashups where it's not enough to quench a thirst, what else does it do? It's not enough to fulfill a hunger, what else does it do? So we'll see a lot more of these products over the next couple months.
Jeff, we appreciate you being with us this morning. All the best to you and all your members.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Jeff Leonard is the Vice President of Strategic Industry Initiatives at the National Association of Convenience Stores, which is having its annual conference right now in Las Vegas.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, your futures are flat this morning heading toward the opening bell at 8:30 Chicago time. Gold and silver are trading higher. Oil is flat as well at $74.96 a barrel. Now the latest on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. We finally got the weekly harvest summaries a day late because of the Columbus Day holiday on Monday. But as of Sunday, 34% of the nation's corn acres had been harvested, a big 63% in Illinois, and 51% of the Illinois soybean crop harvested. The Indiana harvest for corn, 39%, soybeans, 40%. Iowa, only 15% of the corn acres harvested, 18% of the soybean acres harvested. And in Wisconsin, 14% of the corn acres and 17% of the soybean acres were harvested, and the total 32% of the soybean crop harvested in the nation. Total planting of winter wheat at 57% as of Sunday. Well, after being talked about a couple of days, it finally happened yesterday. President of the United States launched an effort yesterday to increase ethanol use in the nation's gasoline pool. And the president announced the lifting of a ban on summer sales of gasoline blended with 15% ethanol, known as E15. You have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Wednesday, October the 10th. We'll get a report on mortgage applications today from the Mortgage Bankers Association. PPI numbers are out, wholesale trade numbers as well. Chicago Fed President Charles Evans has a speech today. Rafael Bostic also out there speaking. Tomorrow we're looking forward to earnings from a couple of big companies, including Chicago area company Walgreens Boots Alliance. Delta earnings tomorrow. Then on Friday, the banks start earnings again. Citigroup, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo. Speaking of Walgreens, Walgreens changing the benefits it offers employees and eliminating health insurance for most of its eligible retirees. Just a couple of months after announcing it's boosting hourly wages for store employees, starting next year, employees of Walgreens will not qualify for paid time off unless they work at least 30 hours a week. About 550 Walgreens retirees under 65 now receive subsidized health insurance. from Walgreens, and those cuts will take place in March, expected to save about $100 million a year for Walgreens Boots Alliance.